We are on
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it, thankful, grateful, and blessed for this day that God has made. Thanking God that he woke us up this morning, because somebody didn't wake up on this side of the earth. So we thank God. So as always, I'm thankful, grateful, and blessed to be with you this morning. And also my co-host, good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you this lovely, cold, crisp morning?
I'm doing fine. Good morning, Pastor.
I pray all is well with you. As we say, no things broke in, no fires broke out. Praise the Lord this morning. So we are going to be coming this morning from the book of Hosea, chapters 3 and 4. And I love it because it's got the highlighter boy in it. And when we go into verse number 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I also will reject you from being preached for me because you have forgotten. Woo, I love this word. You have forgotten the law of your God. That's one of my highlightables from Hosea chapter 4. So I'm going to tell you, there's quite a few other highlightables up in here. Just, all I can say is, Mother Valerie, I know God has got a word for you this morning. You know,
Amen.
And the word that God gave me was, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. He who does not love does God is love. And I laughed. I said, Lord, are you trying to give me my title for Sunday's lesson? Because he's changed it several times, by the way. But I just, you know, but the word love has been in my spirit. It's been in lessons. I taught a lesson on love yesterday morning before I came on the blog. And then on the blog, we talked about love on yesterday. And then today, we're talking love again. I'm like, okay, God, I get it. It's all about love. All right. You have to say, okay, because when God keeps giving you something, you know that it's for a purpose and a reason. And the something
Amen.
I keep getting is love. We've got to love in spite of, you know, where you want to say, oh, Lord, I just want to slap her. And God's like, no, that's not love, you know, because they may not turn the other cheek. They may slap you back. So we have to make sure that we love each other with a kind heart. And, you know, this morning on my Facebook, as I was working on this lesson, the word that God gave me for our word for today is this. Let me get it up here. I am not a Facebook person, really. I'm not particular about it, but the word that God gave me was this. The fruit of the Spirit, love, has been in my lessons and heart. Can you imagine a world filled with love? A world where love your neighbor is helping each other without conflict and wars. The word of God tells us he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. For the rest of this week, let your love light shine. Say good morning with a smile to that hateful coworker who never has anything good to say about you and others. And watch God change the atmosphere. I pray that you have a blessed day filled with the love of God as you let your love light shine. And I'm like, folks are like, what is she talking about, a love light? Jesus said that he is what? The way, the truth, and the light. And our love light is Jesus. We got to let Jesus shine in us and through us in whatever we are doing. Just letting God work in all that he does because he loves us so much. And all he's asking is for us to love each other. Do you love God? I love God, as Mary used to say. What's wrong with you? You don't love God. I love God. You don't love God. What's wrong with you? We don't want to have that what's wrong with you in our spirit today. We want to love God to the absolute. And I may sound a little down this morning, just a little congestion. The weather changed, and where I'm sleeping on a couch right now because my grandson does not want me to sleep where I sleep in my room, because that means he has to sleep in his room by himself. So I'm keeping him company this week. But honestly, I've actually had a really good night's sleep. It's just that that room has a little bit more open space, so it doesn't get as warm as some of the other rooms. So you have to kind of bundle up a little bit more. So I'm a little congested, and I have to just say this. If you are sick, people, stay home. Don't come and spread your germs, because other people may be more susceptible to your germs than others. So
that's
just saying, that's just me throwing it out there. Stay home if you're real sick. If everybody around you is sick, don't come to work. Don't come to the office. Don't come to church. You can watch it online. You can send your tithes through Givelify. But stay home until you feel better. Because God wants us all to be well. And I'm well. I'm just saying that I am well. I may just sound a little congested. For those that listen regularly, you know I do get bronchitis. And this is that bronchial season. Well, congested, but I'll be fine. And I am fine. Because why? I got my love light shining today. So, Mother Valerie, I'm turning it over to you to let your love light shine over everyone this morning. Let the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, shine through you this morning as we go forth in the Word of God. Again, we're in Hosea chapter 3 and 4. We're in the 138th Psalm, verses 7 through 8. Our proverb this morning is the 29th proverb, verse 18. And I will be coming from 1 John chapter 4. And all I can say is all about love this morning. It's all about love, Mother. Hosea loved Gomer, even though she was a prostitute. But God told him to choose her. He did what God said, and he loved her. It's about love. He had to love. He had to love her. Even in her mess, he loved her. And that's how God loves us. Even in our mess, he still loves us. So keep trusting God and let your love light shine today. Mother Valerie, I'm turning it over to you. Pray us in and take us through the word. Move us forward in the word of God.
Amen. Amen. It's a good morning. It's 33 degrees, and you know 32 is freezing. But we thank God for all that he do, even for the cold. It's a beautiful, beautiful morning. Good morning, people of God. I want to thank
and
praise
Mother
God.
Valerie.
I want to thank and praise God for all he do. I want to thank and praise God for just waking us up. And thank and praise God for another day to get it right. God is love. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. Lord, we just thank you. We praise you. We say hallelujah. It's the highest praise in Jesus' name. We are grateful for Abba. We are grateful for our Father in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm counting out of Hosea 3 and 1. You know, this is December the 6th. And last week, I saw people sitting outside in November. But this is December, and who can tell? We might get a few warm days even in December. God is just good. The weather is changeable. Yesterday in Los Angeles, it was 80 degrees. 80 degrees. And no wonder they told me, why did you want to go home? I spent 3 months in Los Angeles, California. And they said, why do you want to go back home? Because this is home. I was born here, raised here, and I understand the weather here. This is considered home. God is good, and he's good all the time. I like the book of Hosea. because Goma, I mean, what man in this day and age, if a woman have three children on you and you love the children and you love the woman and you continue to love the woman, well, the world would consider you a complete fool. They'll call you crazy. Man, you've got to be out of your mind. But Hosea really did love Goma because God told him to go and pick a woman, go pick a whore, a woman of harlotry. And he did exactly what God told him to do. And he loved her. He really did love her. So when she committed adultery, I was just thinking about that story yesterday. When she committed adultery, he didn't get rid of her. And he even loved the three children that she had by her lovers. Wow. I mean, that's just really something. Then the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by a lover and is committing adultery. Just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel who looked to other gods and loved the raisin cakes of the pagans. So I bought her for myself for 15 shekels of silver and 1 1/2 homers of barley. And I said to her, you shall stay with me many days. You shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man. So too will I be toward you. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillars, without ephod or teraphim. Therefore, the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing, committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Therefore the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Even the fish of the sea will be taken away. Now let no man contend or rebuke another. For your people are like those who contend with the priests. Therefore you shall stumble in the day. The prophet also shall stumble with you in the night. And I will destroy your mother. I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They are destroyed. They don't know God. They don't know their God. They serve other gods. Like Solomon was saying, Lord, I'm just a child. Give me wisdom and knowledge. All you have to do is ask God. Ask God. He will increase your wisdom and give you knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God. You have forgotten. I will also forget your children. The more they increase, the more they sin against me. I will change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people. They set their heart on iniquity, and it shall be like people, like priests. I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their deeds. For they shall eat, but not have enough. They shall commit harlotry, but not increase, because they have ceased obeying the Lord. When you cease obeying the Lord, things begin to go wrong for you. You got to continue with God, and God will continue with you. When you do wrong, all you have to do is repent. Repent. Ask God to forgive you for the wrong that you're doing. God said a good man falls down 7 times. Get back up again. Get back up again. Don't stay in sin. And you know, our pastor Jesse teaches us when you do wrong, admit that. Take the responsibility of your wrong. Admit that you done somebody wrong. Go to them. Say that I'm sorry. You know, when you sin knowingly and unknowingly, well, not unknowingly, but you know when you sin knowingly, you decide to do something even though it's wrong. You say, I'm going to do it anyway. And you do it. And then God convict you through the Holy Spirit. And all you got to do is confess. Say that I did this. I'm wrong, God. Forgive me. and go on with God. Don't let the devil deceive you and keep you in sin. Clean up. Because they have ceased obeying the Lord. Harlotry, wine, and new wine enslaved the heart. And you know what people say when they want to drink wine? Well, Jesus turned the water into wine. We can drink a little wine for the stomach's sake. Well, you know, you shouldn't. But some people that want to drink wine would use that. Jesus turned the water into wine. We can drink wine for the stomach's sake. But a lot of people, even if they drink the wine, can't handle the wine. You know, a little wine and a little more wine and a little more wine, and then you high off of wine. My people ask counsel from their wooden idols. How can a wooden idol? Now you look at a piece of wood and said, oh, wood, and pray down to the wood, help me. Sometimes I just don't understand. And the Bible says we know in part. We won't know everything. We know in part. But how can you talk to a piece of wood, something that you have carved, you've made something like an idol out of a piece of wood, and you ask the wood that you made to help you? I don't understand this. Sometimes it just don't make sense to me. It said, my people ask counsel from their wooden idols, and their staff informs them. For the spirit of harlotry have caused them to stray, and they have played the harlot against their God. They offer sacrifices on the mountaintop, bearing incense on the hills, under oaks, and tea burns, because their shade is good. Therefore, your daughters commit harlotry, and your brides commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit harlotry, nor your brides when they commit adultery. For the men themselves go apart with harlots and offer sacrifice with a ritual harlot. Therefore, people who do not understand will be trampled. Do you, Israel, play the harlot? Let not Judah offend. Do not come up to Gilgad, but go up to Beth-Ahim. Nor swear an oath saying, as the Lord lives. For Israel is stubborn, like a stubborn calf. Now the Lord will let them forage like a lamb in open country. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Their drink is rebellion. You know what? It's not a good thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. We need not to continue to rebel against God. They commit harlotry continually. Her rulers dearly love dishonor. The wind has wrapped her up in its wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. God is saying here, he wants you to return to him. Don't fall down between, bow down between a piece of wood or to a piece of wood and say, oh, wood, help me. How can wood help you? Wood cannot help you. You bow down to only one, and that's Jesus Christ, our Lord. You bow down to God, to God, because Jesus is God and Jesus is man. I mean, God made everything, and he made you. He created the heavens. He created the earth. God is good. He allows you to go your own way and do whatever you want to do. But in the end, if you don't repent of your sin, you will suffer for the things that you do wrong. I mean, it's just true. Everything God says to us is real and it's true. And our title today, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is truly, truly love. He loves his children, and we are the children of the Most High God. We are the children of the Most High God. That's who we are, especially when we have accepted Jesus in our life. We are his children. Hosea 3:4-5. Everything that I read is just true. It said life is not simple. Life is not simple. We face many bumps and turns along the way. The race is real. The battle continues and the painful experience piercing. But our environment determines neither our circumstances nor our reaction to them. Life is not simple. It's not simple. Hebrews chapter 11 is populated with men and women who endured despite adverse situations. You must say, well, sure, they endured. I mean, look how their story turned out. Well, they didn't know how their story was going to turn out, and you don't know how yours is going to end either. We're traveling along this road. God is the only one that knows the beginning. He knows the beginning and the ending at the same time. Known person that knows that is God. So how did they demonstrate such strong faith in God? They did so because they understood God knew how everything was going to turn out. It makes perfect sense to them to entrust their futures to a sovereign Lord. In the fifth grade, a young man, now a pastor, had to memorize the entire chapter of Hebrews 11. His mother says that exercise properly because one of the most important parts of his education. Although he went all the way through seminary, he committed to memory of godly people who endured. When he went through a rough time in the ministry, the Lord reminded him of these great people of faith who endured. When I look at the Bible, unseen cloud of witness, I think of Joseph, who endured through life was so unfair. I think of David, who endured, though he was so lonely, and Moses, who took no shortcuts through the land with his grumbling people. I think of Peter stumbling and falling and getting up again and again. We can say, God, if they endure it, so can I. I used to look at Mother Holly. You know, she done went home to be with the Lord. And she would come to church, and sometimes you look at her, and I know she didn't feel good. I said, boy, if she at 93 can come to church and don't feel good, then I can come too. I look at different people in our church who's enduring. Evangelist Teresa, she's enduring. And I look at people, you know, she comes to church even though she's in a wheelchair. I say, if they can do it, then I can do it. We all have problems and symptoms in our body, but then you look at somebody else that's going through a little bit more than you. If they can endure, then I can. It said life is not simple. We face many bumps and battles. And the painful experiences. So if they can endure, and I look at Lewis, he's only got one leg, and he's working around the church, cooking and doing, and dresses up. Oh, my gosh, when he put on a suit, he looks wonderful. I said, if people, you know, that have problems that you can really see, a lot of us have problems, and you can't see the problems and the things that we're going through. It said, life is not simple. It said, we can say, God, if they endure it, so can we. Although I speak little time, although I spend little time with my grandfather, he greatly encouraged me. Once he said to me, Charles, obey God and leave the consequences to him. The statement from an encouraging messenger has sustained me through many battles. God knows the Christian life is not easy. God knows the Christian life is not easy. It will never be easy no matter how long you live. There is always a battle. You will deal with the world, the flesh, and the devil until you die. And that's the truth. God knows that the Christian life is not easy. It will never be easy no matter how long you live. There is always a battle. You will deal with the world, the flesh, and the devil until you die. Satan's not going to say, well, he's 62 now and retired, so I guess I'll leave him alone. The enemy has an incredible record for perseverance. Endurance requires something that doesn't come easily. Endurance, you know, sometimes we just have to endure. I look at Dennis, my sister, she's enduring. I look at Rita, my baby sister, she's enduring. We have to stand for something and against something, and we can do that only by trusting in a sovereign God. When the going gets rough and it will, we can't run away. We can't quit. We can't run away. We can't quit. And I'm going to put this in there. We can't kill ourselves. We have to endure. We have to endure until the very end, until the very end, until God says it is over. You can't take your own life. You just can't do it. We just, Saturday, the church went to a funeral where a young lady, she wasn't trying to die, but she took an overdose, and she was only 31 years old, Pastor Dave's daughter. And that's something that you have to be careful of, young people, old people, any people. You have to be careful with prescription drugs, and you have to be careful with drugs, period. So, you know, it says when the going gets rough, and it will, we can't run away. We can't quit. We can't kill ourselves. We have to endure. The longer we push the limits, the stronger our faith becomes. We become ready for greater service and expand ministry. We become strong and steadfast. A woman noticed a friend hobbling alone. When she asked about the problem, her friend answered, "I'm trying to lose weight through exercise, and my personal trainer is killing me." We have a personal trainer who wants us fit for the race, but who will never kill us in the meantime. He knows our individual racetrack. He knows the pace we need to take. He knows what goal he has set for us. He knows what makes us weary. He's solving it. We endure when we remember how he endured, looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the one who endured the cross. He lives in you so that you can endure yours. You know, we have to think about the suffering that he went through on the cross. He suffered. And he told God, "Not my will." That flesh didn't want to suffer. Nobody wants to suffer. Nobody. Janice is in pain. She don't want to suffer. Rita has MS. She don't want to suffer. The flesh don't want to suffer. But because Jesus endured the cross, we can endure. It said the one who endured the cross, he lives in you so that you can endure yours. We have to endure. We can't kill ourselves. We have to endure. If you stumble, he is there to pick you up. If your trail gets narrow, keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't quit. Don't quit. We can't quit. It says endure. When you receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior and he set you on the course, he had it all mapped out as your sovereign Lord, bumps and everything. He didn't just fire the starting pistol and hope you could find your way. He sent the Holy Spirit to indwell in you. The title again is "He Who Does Not Love Does Not Know God, for God is Love." And verse number 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." We are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We have to know that the Holy Spirit is in us. We have to know that. We have to know that we know that that the Holy Spirit is in us. You aren't running alone. You're not by yourself. Again, the Holy Spirit is inside of you. You don't have to clench your fists in order to endure. Just recognize that your sovereign Lord is with you in every situation. Call up on him. Call up on him. Call up on God when you're going through. Say, "Lord, Lord, help me. Help me." And he will help you. Call up on him to infuse you with his power. You are never a victim of your circumstances, for your sovereign God has determined to use everything that happens to you for your blessing and his glory. We just need to call upon God. Call upon him. Life lessons 3 and 5. They shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. We may know what it means to fear the Lord, but what does it mean to fear his goodness? Hosea means that the goodness of God to us is so great and undeserved that it ought to make us tremble. God is good. He's good, and his mercy endures forever. Life lessons for Hosea 4 and 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Knowledge comes from God. Like Solomon said, Lord, give me wisdom and understanding. All you got to do is ask God. Ask God. It says it's only in the Lord do we find life. Then we have better make it a priority to learn as much about him and his ways as possible. And that means spending prayerful and extended time in his word. The only way to learn about the Lord is to spend time in his word. You can't learn. I mean, you can learn by going to Bible studies. But yet and still, in order to know that the Bible studies are real and they're talking about God, you have to spend time in his word. You do. Hosea 4 and 10. They shall eat, but not have enough, because they have ceased obeying the Lord. You have to obey God. That's all he's asking. God is good, and he wants his children to obey him. When we obey the Lord, he can take a little and make it stretch a long way. But when we disobey him, he can take a lot and make it seem like nothing. He said the choice is ours. You know, you can have a lot of money in your pocket, but instead you have holes in your pocket. God is good. Little children, obey the Lord. We are his little children. And all he wants is for us to be obedient. God is so good. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget.
Amen, amen. What a word. What a word. What a word this morning. And I just looked, and I was looking up something that I had heard on the devil was the person that sings goodness of God. It's, we all know it's C.C. Winans. But the lyrics come from a lady named Jen Johnson, and it's a testimony of some things that happened in her life, and that she came with those lyrics as she was in her car, if I'm not mistaken. I believe it's what she said. And those lyrics just kind of came out, and then she called her husband and some other collaborators from her church, and ironed it out, thought about some of those words. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. And, you know, I thought, wow, that's my testimony. Because until you have not, you're not able to breathe, you're not able to get the air out that you're trying. I'm not asthmatic, but I have bronchitis on occasion, but I'm believing God for a complete cure. I had not dealt with it all year until this week, and normally it happens if I'm exposed to others that are sick, especially those that are coughing. Then it's like those particles get into my breathing, my bronchial system. So I have to be very careful around people that are sick. And so I was just like, oh my goodness. But I know that God's goodness is running after me, that his love is chasing me down. So I'm grateful for the love of God and his grace and his goodness and his mercy. And we have to remember that. That God is faithful, always faithful. Even in the time of Hosea and Gomer, God was faithful. He was faithful to Hosea. And it was all as an example of how we as God's people don't always act right. We're not always good, but God is. So let's get into our word this morning. And again, thank you so much for your prayers, because I just got a couple of texts from folks like, are you all right? I'm fine, thank you. Just dealing with a little bit of a sore throat and some bronchitis, but I'm going to be fine. I'm very good, actually. And I got my remedy, my honey with my green tea and lemon, And I can already tell you I'm feeling much better. And so the word of God in the 138th Psalm, verses 7 through 8, it says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. Come on now. Just talked about it. God can heal us. God can change the trajectory of our voice. He can change how we're feeling. When the Holy Ghost hits you, you feel better. You sound better. You do better. Hallelujah. I can't say it enough. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemy, and your right hand will save me. Thank you, Jesus. And it says, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hand. Highlightable. That's a highlightable. The Lord, hallelujah, will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hand. And I was just, something just popped up on my news feed that a young man in the movie industry has killed himself. Well, he died by suicide. And I'm thinking, Lord help us. And it says, and it's a young man, I don't know if those of you watch General Hospital, but he was a star of General Hospital named Billy Miller. And he died from taking his own life following years of battling for bipolar depression.
My God.
And it tells us, you know, and it says he was found dead inside his bathtub in Austin, Texas on September 16th. And they were trying to figure out, he was 43 years old, so he was not, you know, a baby. But the fact of the matter is, you know, he played, and for those that are my generation, he played Billy Abbott on The Young and the Restless also. Very great actor, really, really good. And he killed himself. He left letters, and he found, you know, things, but he killed himself.
Yeah.
Shot himself. And all you can say is, Lord, help us. You know, and when they did the toxicology, he had ethanol. Now, you think about that. Ethanol is alcohol in gas. Metabolites. He had all kind of amphetamines. He had all kind of drugs in his system. You know, it just breaks you down when you see young people dying, because I'm old enough to have been his mother, and I think, oh my God, this young man killed himself. What was so horrible in his life? He was an actor doing great on every series he's ever been in, and yet all the money in the world, say, we've said it many a time, does not bring happiness. All the money in the world does not bring happiness, because you can't take it with you.
My Lord.
You can't take it with you. And we've got to pray out the culture and suicide. So I pray for the Miller family. You know, again, great actor. Young and the Restless, Billy Abbott, and I forgot his character on General Hospital, but I remember glancing at it. I'm not going to say I watched it, glancing at it, and thinking, yeah, he's still acting really well. You know, we've got to pray. Pray, 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 and understand love can conquer all things. So we pray for those that kill themselves, because the word tells us that this body is not ours to take, that it belongs to God. So
my
we
Lord.
Pray for those that die in this way, because it's so painful. because the enemy uses drugs, the enemy uses alcohol, he uses anything that can take you out of your right mind to the point where you feel like you can't go on. But we know we can't go on because one day we will see Jesus. And as we go into our proverb this morning, our proverb is the 29th proverb, verse 18. It says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. Now, going back to the book of Hosea. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I also reject you from being preached for me because you have forgotten the law of your God. Where there is no revelation, knowledge, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. We've seen restraints cast off many a time in this nation. We've seen babies dying at Sandy Hook, Colorado to Florida, back to Texas. Why? Because somebody doesn't know love, doesn't know Jesus, and doesn't care about their fellow man. We've got to sensitize people again. They've been desensitized to violence because of video games and different things, and I'm not going to blame video games because responsible parents don't give video games to their children with more in them when it says adult content. If it says adult content, that means it's adult and that your 10-year-old don't need to be playing that game. So parents have to take responsibility. A 30-year-old, a 40-year-old, a 20-year-old, 18-year-old are adults, but a 10-year-old is not. You know, we have to be careful what we do and how we do things, but we have to have knowledge. And it says this is what Dr. Stanley tells us about 29 and 18 in Proverbs. What happens when a society rejects God's revelation? And everyone does as he sees fit. You get a culture that looks a lot like the perverted one described in the book of Judges. And it never works. Perverted. Sodom and Gomorrah. Perverted. Inhospitable. Hateful. We're going to just rape you. It don't matter if you're man or woman. We don't care. But we prefer the men. We just going to rape them in the square. And as I thought about it, the word, and I believe it was, oh God, I believe it was Judges. The tribe of Benjamin was almost destroyed again because of lack of talent. And again, men wanted to rape a man. And instead, he gave him his concubine, gave him his wife to be mutilated, raped. And then he didn't make anything better. He took her already raped and beaten and dead body and cut it up and sent it to all the tribes of Israel. We got to be careful and we got to pray. We got to pray for our nation, pray for our world, pray that our love light shines, that God will show us the way through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. He is the light. And he is our love light. So when you hear me say love light, it's Jesus. We got to have, as a kid saying, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. We got to let our love light shine. And as we go into our New Testament word this morning, in the book of 1 John. And I tell you something, 1 John, he don't play. John didn't play in Revelation. He didn't play in John, and he's not playing in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John either. And as we go into 1st John chapter 4, it tells us, beloved, he talked about it yesterday. He called us beloved children of God. It says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ, that light, has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. When somebody thinks they God and that they are just as good and that God is this and God is that, but it's all out of context because they're claiming to be God themselves. That is a spirit of Antichrist. And we got to know it and we got to see it. When you have pastors in the pulpit acting like they God, you know that's not a God. Don't say nothing about Jesus. Jesus is not spoken during any part of the service. No love of God is spoken any part of the service. Everything is about me. It's not about you. It's all about me. And all you can talk about is how you need this money to get a new car, how you need this money to get a new plane, how you need the congregation needs to take care of you by giving you this money for this, that, and the other. But nothing about tithes and offering going to take care of God's house and the business of God. Yes, you're supposed to take care of your pastor. Yes, you are supposed to give your pastor what they need and what they deserve. I can say my pastor went almost 13 years without taking her money, instead putting it back into the church. Why? Because she loved God and she loved God's people. But you have folks out there wanting a new jet and living the billionaire life on the church's dime, but yet don't mention God at all. Talks about, all they talk about is prosperity. If you give me $100, then God's going to give you $1,000. Excuse me. That, and then Jesus again, nowhere near it. Don't talk about the love of Christ, just the love of themselves. False prophet, Antichrist spirit. And he tells us in the word, you are God, little children. Overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another. God is saying it more than we can imagine. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. I cannot say, Mother Valerie, I don't like you. I don't like you at all. But I love God. I love God, but I just don't like you. Is that a God? It is not. That is a spirit of Antichrist. You cannot say you love God and hate somebody. I just hate them, Mother Valerie. I just hate them. I can't say that and say I love God. God is love. And it tells us in the word, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Jesus paid it all on that cross for me, for you, for us, because he loved us. He came back into this world. He came into this world as a babe through the womb, through a womb that had never, nothing had ever come through it. Nothing had ever come through it. She was a virgin. He broke through the membrane. He broke through her innocence. He came through innocence. When you think about that, virginity comes up and he came down. Come on now, I'm just trying to keep it real. But the bottom line is he came out of a virgin's body. Can you imagine the pain that Mary went through? The pain of her son coming into this world and watching her son die on the rugged cross for us. He came to this world in pain for us. He died on the cross in pain for us. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this, we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us his spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Ooh, what a word. God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. I love you, Mother Valerie, because you are my mother in Christ, and I love you. I love you with the love of God, because God loved me unconditionally, and I love you the same. And that's the spirit we have to have. We've got to love unconditionally. We've got to love each other. Get over yourself. I don't like you because you're black. I don't like you because you're white. I don't like you because you're Latino. I don't like you because you're Asian. I don't like you. That's stupid. And it's not a God. God has told us to love each other. I don't like you because you are of the LGBTQ community. Excuse me. The word of God says by love and kindness do we draw them, not by hate and rhetoric. And I don't, they're this, that, and the other. They're human. They're children of God. And you need to get over yourself. We got to love each other. That's the word of God, not mine, but God's word. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. I love him. He loved me. I thank him so much for healing my body, for giving me a voice to speak, because God's Holy Spirit dwells in us. And we got to know who we belong to. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. Not my word, God's word. What does it say? I love God and hate his brother. He is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Jesus said the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. You've got to love God. You've got to love God. Jesus gave us these commandments. And when you go to the top 10 in Exodus and Deuteronomy, you find out you're divided in half. The first half is God, and the lower half is basically your neighbor. You don't want to kill, steal from your neighbor. You don't want to covet. You don't want to commit adultery. Those things are of flesh, and God wants us to love each other in flesh, in spirit, in boldness. I got to love you in spite of you. You got to love me in spite of me. I'm not perfect, but I love the Lord, and I try not to walk in hatred. I try not to walk in dislike, because nobody's perfect. We're all in transition, trying to make it in. Take my heart and mold it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it to yours. We want to be holy like God. In 1 John 4:4, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. That's a highlightable. Anytime we resist some temptation, overcome some spiritual challenge, or triumph in a contest of faith, we do so because God's spirit lives in us. We move ahead in a walk with God by relying on his power, not ours. Hallelujah. Thanking God this morning that I didn't rely on my power, because my power is, oh, my soul hurts and I don't feel good. Forget that foolishness. God's got a word for you to give. Get up. You got work to do. That's what God tells you in the morning. Get up. You got work to do. I got work to do today. And I'm feeling better because the Spirit of God has coming in and flowing in like fire. We got to have that fire in our spirit. In 1 John 4:8 says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And it tells us to be transformed into the image of Christ. God's ultimate goal for us means to increasingly reflect his loving character in our behavior and attitude. Your attitude will determine your altitude. And it tells us, thank you, Prophetess Renee. And it says, therefore, if we are not becoming more loving, we have taken a wrong turn somewhere. Love for God is not merely a warm sentiment or a pleasant feeling. It is a living, active force that changes who we are. Jesus himself forever connected love for God with love for people. We got to love God, and we got to love each other. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. His only son. And that's what we got to understand. God gave his only son, a part of himself. He gave the word. He gave the light. He gave the truth. He gave the way. He gave it to us. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. And God gave his love light to us. And we've got to love each other with the love of God. Never forget that. And get on your knees and pray. Prayer changes all kinds of things. Prayer changes your attitude. And prayer changes your altitude, because it changes your attitude. Praise God this morning. Tell God thank you. And I have a word for my student, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And Sister Carolyn tells us, when we kneel before God, when we kneel before God, we can stand against anything. Have a warfare Wednesday and let your love light shine. Because when we fight with love, we win the war. When we fight with the love light, we shine it in the darkness. And God, whew, hallelujah, is that light in darkness. We got to pray. Prayer changes things. When we kneel before God, we can stand against anything. Have a war-filled Wednesday. I am feeling so warm right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, of the Holy Spirit. So I thank God for all of you, and may the Lord watch between me and thee. While we're absent, one from each other, in Jesus' name, I pray over you and your family. Have a blessed and lovely day in the Lord, knowing that you are covered by the light of love. Have a great day. Mother Valerie, I love you.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do about it but love God and love me too, because I am your
daughter. I love you
now.
More.
Thank you.
I love
Amen.
You more.
Amen. Amen. Mother Valerie, guess what? It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. Got to go to work and got to take a baby to school. Have a great day.